The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning once again, 8 a.m. Central Time here where I'm at. Don't know where you are, but you can look at your time and go, hey, Dave, that's not the same time zone you're in. Yeah, that's right. You got that figured out. That must mean you're awake this morning. God, I love that last hour. Man, you guys were calling in, blowing up the phone lines. Everybody's all worried about that EBS test and what it means, and they're circulating messages out there. I don't know where they're getting it from, QAnon, Nasera, Jacera, I don't know. But they're all sitting there saying that they're going to put this high-frequency warble in everybody's brains. Are going to blow up just like it did on Kingsman Secret Service. And, oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, this is crazy. Now they just hacked Donald Trump Jr.'s web, his post on Twitter saying that his dad had passed away. And I'm like, he's running for president, Donald Trump Jr. is, really? They're trying to devalue Twitter. You watch this. It's not even going to be worth going on Twitter because of this AI and this garbage that's going on. They're going to censor you. They're going to lie to you. They're going to do all these things. Cheryl Chumley, welcome back to the show. I'm telling you, you've got this new book out called Lockdown, The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. And by the way, for those of you who don't know Cheryl, she has a website, CherylChumley.com. She is a Washington Times online opinion editor. And she's got this book out. It's a terrifying story of how the government's using the work of chaos of the COVID-19 pandemic to cloak their nefarious plan to take away American freedoms. I don't know if you were listening to the last hour of the show, Cheryl, but we just played this Jason Shurka's little 1 minute and 26 second clip where he's telling everybody that, and the EBS test on October 4th, they're going to unleash, courtesy of FEMA, all these high-frequency waves that are going to cause the graphene oxide in everybody's brains to explode, just like in the Kingsman movie. What do you say to that?
Well, first off, thank you for having me. Second off, I know nothing about that, so I can't comment on that.
I had to throw that out there.
I can say, though, that, and your listeners are probably aware of this, that the government isn't going to let go the fear that they created by hyping the dangers of COVID. They're going to keep at it through the election to use it as a tool to keep people home, right, voting, and to control well into the future until the Great Reset can be realized.
So that you really believe, as we all have been discussing on the show, that this Great Reset is actually BRICS and all of that stuff. They're going to depetrolize the dollar. I mean, all of this is going to go, right? You agree that it's all going to happen?
Yeah. Well, yes, because in their own words, if you just go to the World Economic Forum's website, reform.org, and read what Klaus Schwab has said, or read Bill Gates' latest book, How to Beat the Next Pandemic. They put it out there. It's not like it's hidden. The media tries to make it seem like, oh, you're conspiracy theorists and so forth. And yeah, until maybe you check it out, they can say that. But it's been out there for so long. Just go and read and listen to these people explain their own agenda, and you'll see it's true.
You know, and I got to ask these questions. Our last hour's conversation, God, I wish you'd have been on with me the last hour, Cheryl, because, I mean, the conversations, man, people are so awake to this stuff. We got these illegals coming across the border. Tim from Michigan called up talking about Idi Amin, how they flooded South Africa with tens of millions of people. They started rioting in the streets. You talk about all the homeless cities, these blue state cities out there that are loaded with tent cities, and all of these people, I mean, Boston Logan Airport right now is home to all these illegal migrants going into Massachusetts. You really think that these people out there are going to respect all these lockdown plans and not going to riot as a result?
Well, see, chaos and riot works in favor of the bureaucrats, right? Because then when we're all rioting in the streets, in order to instill calm and control the situation, the government can send in police, the government can send in law enforcement to justify further clampdown. So chaos is a purposeful strategy of the left because they use that, they exploit that as cause to control people and human activity even further.
And this is why all these Americans are arming themselves to the teeth, because they think, especially in the major cities, they're going to be in the middle of a firefight. I don't know what else to say, Cheryl. What do you think about all that? I mean, does it make sense?
It does make sense. And it's a 50-50, right? Honestly, a civil war, an actual civil uprising, violent in scope, is a 50-50 at this point. It seems as if there are players behind a curtain somewhere, right? Slowly pressing harder on this button, letting up a little here, kind of testing waters here, seeing how much pressure they can exert there, and sort of taking note of what's going on. And if that sounds conspiratorial to you, again, I just point you to these globalists and these bureaucrats' own words, their own designs, their own strategies and agendas. And you look at what's going on right now at the UN headquarters, right, with the meeting talking about climate alarmism and climate fear, and we need to control development because the climate, the planet is about to explode. It's the same fear they use to justify locking people down during the coronavirus.
Wow. Now, folks, you're hearing all this stuff coming out of a U.S. Army veteran. By the way, Cheryl, thank you for your service. I was an RA as well. You're also a licensed private investigator. So, you know, you've got the critical thinking cap already. That's one of the reasons I believe you wrote this book. Now, it's available on Amazon for those of you who want to get it. I know. Oh, God, I got to shop on Amazon again. yeah, but I mean, the book is there. It's The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. Now, the thing is we've been looking at this thing and analyzing the living daylights out of it. And, you know, we know that there are some nefarious things going on now that is the big lead up to what's happening. In this historical perspective, where are we in this whole cycle? I mean, we're going to have Dr. Naomi Wolf on the show on Friday, and she's talking about a lot of this stuff, too. Where are we at in the cycle of things that you're seeing that this book talks about? As a means of like point A to point B, where are we in this equation?
So if zero, right, gives complete freedom, America is as it should be, and 10 is utter communism around the world, I would say that we're at point eight right now.
Ow.
If you look at how, is that what you said? Or?
No, I said, ow, I didn't like that number.
No, and you shouldn't. But look, it's been steadily creeping in. Just look at America. Socialism has been steadily creeping into our system for years now. We just don't call it socialism. It's gone beyond socialism, really. If you look at under the coronavirus, it was almost like a police state system that we had going on. And if you look at now, when we're supposed to be past the pandemic, and this is why I wrote the book, by the way, all the promises of moving past the pandemic and return to norms, that's not going to happen. So the book was a warning and a look ahead as well. But if you look at what happened under the pandemic, we basically bowed down to government dictates. There were no laws passed. There was no legislation passed to force us to comply with laws to stay at home, stay out of school, stay off the beaches, close our businesses, close our churches. Those happen by law. They happen by a little local government bureaucrat who said you should close because Anthony Fauci recommends it, or Bill Gates says it's the best thing to do. So we willingly complied with government orders, which tell me that's not a police state. It's just we are so far gone from founding father principles. And the last wall to crumble here before we get to a 10 is Americans giving up the notion that our rights come from God and government's only there to preserve and protect them. The last wall is the God-given individual liberties.
And that's where the proverbial caca is going to hit the fan when all of this stuff starts to manifest itself in a big way. I just, our listeners think that, we think that, those who are living in the major cities, you've got a rude awakening. And I know you're all going to go, but Dave, come on, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? You know, we got our bug out bag. We got all the, you know, but look at, you know, if there's an EMP attack, I mean, there could be any other number. We're already talking about directed energy weapons being used in Lahaina. There's been enough discussion on the show. We had Steve Favis on yesterday that was tracking China satellites. And again, you know, you got the United States government, what looks like they're in cahoots with China because of all the money that Biden supposedly got. And you've got a ship that we're told, naval aircraft carrier off Maui, that is told to stand down while these three satellites from China are being tracked through the NORAD system. And they just happen to be over Maui when the fires got started. Duh. And we're all trying to put two and two together going, I think, Cheryl, that this situation is ramping up a lot faster than we think. But I don't know in what perspective the lockdown is going to occur, whether it's going to be disease related or whether it's going to be societal breakdown related. I mean, there's so many different things at stake here. Does your book get into all of that and play it all down?
Yes, it does. And it's probably going to be a combination. And let me give you what's going on right now in New York, right? There's a treaty being discussed that would give the World Health Organization the power to declare pandemics around the world, right? So wherever they see a pandemic or a perceived pandemic, they can designate that an emergency. And more than that, the treaty would also give the World Health Organization the power to dictate to heads of states around the world how they should respond to that declared pandemic. So given that, we'll be living in a perpetual state of emergency health orders, right? Because the World Health Organization is on board with the Chinese communist model of locking everybody down all the time. And if America were to join into that treaty, partner with that treaty, which is a very real reality, given Joe Biden, right, the puppet president doing the globalist bidding, and the Senate in the hands of the Democrats, the Senate being the body that ratifies treaties, America could very quickly find itself ceding its sovereignty for medical bureaucrats to dictate how we live going forward.
Scary stuff, but here's the thing. Anybody in the Senate, we're talking about Harris being the pro tem. We're talking about Schumer and Pelosi. I mean, well, she's in the House, but anyway, you got Schumer and you got all the backers in Biden, all the rhinos. You got all the status quo folk out there like Romney and McConnell, who can't think straight when he's up speaking because he's getting a freezing moment. You got Bernie Sanders. I mean, this is crazy. All of these people you talk about in the book. And then you have their influence, their outside influences in these people. I told people this Biden impeachment stuff is nothing but tit for tat because Senate's not going to let it happen. But now you bring this equation in and you're talking about the Senate being so slanted that the majority, what is it going to take for them to actually agree? Do they need 60% of the Senate to agree that this treaty should be passed? Or, I mean, what do we do? We're calling our senators now and blowing up their phones. I mean, what are we supposed to do to stop this?
Yeah, I mean, I would say flood the Senate with petitions to stop it. But I would also just talk about it because the more aware people are of it, the less prone the politicians in America are to get aborted. This was aborted before. Joe Biden, I think it was like a year ago, this treaty was being developed and Joe Biden was out there and he was talking about it and the administration was making noise about it. And there was such blowback. It sort of went under the radar again. It sort of died. But it's being brought up again. So it's incumbent on Americans to at least talk about it, be aware about it, and then fight, call their politicians, you know, write editorials in their local newspapers, whatever they can, to generate awareness and educate the American citizenry that this is a serious thing that could strip us of our individual rights.
But here you have a world organization that, you know, it proved itself useless during the pandemic over time. I mean, you and I both know that, given the amount of propaganda that they were putting out. And all of a sudden, the CDC's got egg on its face. The FDA's got egg on its face. Sorry, you're not all out there eating horse paste, but we're still not going to acknowledge ivermectin was working. You know, it's working in other countries that instituted Mexico, Peru. I mean, we got classic stories of this stuff. So, you know, the whole idea, and I'm not saying that your book doesn't have value. I'm sure it does, from a perspective that people need to realize, look, history repeats itself. They're going to keep us doing the same thing. They're going to scare half of America into believing that what's happening is real, because that's the first part of what happens in socialism, is they've got to change your mindset. How do you think they're going to do that on the surface?
Well, I think they already have quite a bit. I think under the coronavirus, and this is the biggest danger that came out of all the coronavirus crazy, the idea in America, our exceptionalism, comes from the notion of God-given individual liberties, right? It's the individual first, and then things like medical freedom, your ability to choose your own medical treatment comes out of that individualism. Well, under the coronavirus, everything flipped. We moved toward a mindset of collectivism. We moved toward the idea that we need to take care of other people, even if we don't buy into the coronavirus hype. So we saw people wearing face masks, for instance, not because they believed in the power of the face mask to stop the transmission and spread of the virus, but rather because they did it because their neighbors were fearful and their neighbors wanted them to wear face masks so they could feel better. We were told that if we didn't wear a face mask, this is Joe Biden, then we weren't patriotic. We weren't doing our patriotic duty. He even mentioned at one point that it was a Christian duty. So it's things like that. When you see like American citizens doing things that they don't believe in, but doing them because the government tells them to, so other people can feel better, that's living for the state, not living for the individual. And the fact is, you can still see, at least in Northern Virginia where I live, you can still see people driving around in their cars by themselves or walking down the road by themselves wearing face masks, which is the outward show of ongoing obedience and fear.
Blind obedience. You see, the people that are driving around in their cars with the masks on, I call them face diapers now. I'm sorry, but I'm way past this. I call them COVID idiots. And because of the fact they could get hypoxia inside the car and crash, that's called a COVID accident. So now we have this whole new batch of branch COVIDians that are out there and they're promoting this stuff. And I'm starting to see more and more people wearing the masks again when I'm out on the streets. So it's just like, okay, the brainwashing is starting again, or it never left. That probably is more true than not, right?
It never left, right? And you're seeing the school systems implement face mask mandates. You're seeing colleges, right, require students to have the COVID shots as conditions of returning to campus. So it never really left. And we have more and more and more data now that has come out to show that the face masks don't work, right? They don't work. And by work, meaning, you know, stop the spread of the virus. The shots that were at first announced at 90-95% efficacy and above, you just waited a couple months, and then that efficacy was down to about 40%. And then Anthony Fauci was out there making the rounds, talking about the need for boosters every year, every year, every year, and the burying of the negative impacts from these shots. You know, there are a lot of adverse health outcomes from these shots that are being buried in the media. So you take all that, and it's happening again, but really it never stopped. It just died down a little bit.
What do you think about Megyn Kelly admitting the fact that she's been adversely reacted by, now she's got an autoimmune disorder, and now she's gone public with it? Is she a media turncoat now, or does she really have a leg to stand on?
Well, I'm glad to hear people with huge platforms like Megyn Kelly speaking out about their own personal experiences with these shots that are dangerous, right? They were experimental from the get-go. I don't care what people said. Oh, we did testing on them, and we know. You can never know the long-term impacts of a chemical you put in your body until a long term has passed. You can't just say, well, we've given these shots for months now, for a year, and they're safe for the long term. You don't know. And exactly what happened to Megyn Kelly is the fear of those who were reluctant to take the shots from the very beginning. They did didn't know the long-term health impacts from them. So I'm glad she's come out and spoke about it. I wish more people had used common sense before injecting their arms with these untested chemicals in the beginning, because then perhaps we wouldn't have gotten to the point in this country where Joe Biden felt comfortable mandating the shots for health workers and for members of the military.
So here's another thing. Japan has now developed one of these. Here, put this pill under your tongue. It's the same thing as the jab, except we don't have to stick a needle in your arm. But we're still going to get all those lipid nanoparticles in your system because they're going to be soaked in through one of the easiest ways to get it in to your body, under the tongue. And all these little nanoparticles are going to come in your system and, yeah, la-di-dee, la-di-da. And this is what's going to happen because now we've made it easier and much more convenient. Coming soon to a store near you. And see, I mean, this is part of this sinister, nefarious plan, isn't it?
It is. It, you know, I would just implore people, before you take any kind of medical treatment that is being pushed by the government, stop and ask yourself, is this necessary? Who benefits? Is this a moneymaker thing? Is this some sort of agenda from the government? And these are not conspiratorial questions. All you have to do is look back on the 3 years of the coronavirus crazy and see that Big Pharma was pushing out medical treatments that were untested and experimental, all the while denying it, and all the while raking in billions of dollars using taxpayer money, by the way, to develop these shots. So it was just a big funding mechanism. And I just think taking any more chemicals for a virus that has been shown time and time again to not be a fraction of deadly as what Anthony Fauci first predicted, we need to slow down and stop taking these medical treatments the government is pushing.
Well, and that's the bigger part of it. You know, so many people are blind and walking around believing everything the government tells them. They've made the government their god. So this is a problem what we've got right now. It's probably one of the reasons motivates you to write the book. Zombie Nation is one of the things that this country is becoming in the process, and this is all part of the bigger plan. They want to legalize pot. They want to give your kids as much Adderall and Ritalin as they can. But now we got a bigger problem, and it's coming across the border. And China, we have to thank for that, and that's fentanyl. It's so easy to get your hands on. They're putting it in Skittles. These kids, I mean, I really think that this lockdown is all a bigger part of the overall depopulation effort. Have you come to that same conclusion?
Yes, after listening to Naomi Wolf and some of her findings, some of her research, which is all based on doctors, independent studies and independent analysis. And look, what's taking place here, not only if we're talking about a depopulation, we're also looking at the whole Great Reset design here, which is to just strip away borders from all nations. And America was kind of the last wall to crumble here. Under Joe Biden, we see the videos every day, thousands of illegals flowing across the borders and being housed, as you pointed out a few minutes ago, most recently in Logan Airport in Massachusetts, right? So this is all designed to ultimately crumble the borders of nations and force the people into a chaotic situation where they're willing to comply with a government order.
You know, and I'm wondering why all those people in Martha's Vineyard were so scared when Ron DeSantis sent all those illegals up there, and like only four of them still remain on the island. The rest of them were all sent off to a camp somewhere on the main part of Massachusetts. But the thing is that you're looking at all of these elite that think they're all, you know, we're really should be exempt from all of this, but they're not. This whole thing is going to backfire on all of these people. This is not just designed to go after the Christian right. This is designed to go after every single person living in America. They're going to multiculturalize the country, and then they're going to tear it apart, just like they did in South Africa. You see that coming?
I do see that coming, and that's exactly what I was pointing out in lockdown. And, you know, the last wall, as I said, is God-given individual liberties, and that comes from going to church and understanding biblical values and understanding the Judeo-Christian founding of this nation. If more Americans were in tune with the Judeo-Christian founding of this nation and the idea that government is only there to serve and protect the rights that you have at birth through the Creator, then most of this evil stuff going on right now wouldn't even have reared, because it would have been frightened to rear its head, because it would have known that the American people aren't going to put up with it. It's just that at this particular time in history, everything's coming to this one moment, it seems like, this clash between good and evil, if you will, and it's being driven by a very wicked globalist interest to create a world where there are only a few elites at the top and the rest of us are living in this sort of chaotic situation where we're going from one crisis to another, turning to those elitists at the top to solve all our problems.
Okay, so now we're getting close to, we're a year away from where the real heavy campaigning is going to start. And you've got Trump's indictments, all four of those, which I have said over and over, maintained. You may agree or disagree. I'd love to hear your opinion on it. He becomes now the lesser of two evils in the election cycle in 2024. And because of the fact that people are realizing, look how easily it was that all these democratic institutions could come after him the way they are, to throw him off his political footing, to try to put him in prison, to keep him out of the running. And it's like, look, we need to vote for this guy because he's our savior. Have we been so blindly led down a bad path that it's going to make the lockdown easier?
Well, I don't look at Trump as a savior, but I do look at him as somebody who will be able to fight these globalist forces and put off a lockdown again in America. He has come out strong already and announced that we're not going to comply, we're not going to do any of this stuff. And he already has a record on beating back some of these global forces, pulling us out of certain organizations that were just using tax dollars for their own socialist communist agendas and so forth. So if Trump is the nominee, which I think he will be, and the elections are fair, which is what the real big red flag is, right? The question mark. And he wins the White House, then I think that we get a reprieve for at least four more years from lockdowns occurring. If he does not win, if the elections are not fair, and for some, you know, mysterious reason, Joe Biden generates enough support to win again, and I put win in air quotes, then I think lockdowns are definitely coming, and quickly.
Wow. Scary subject matter here, folks. The book is called Lockdown, The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. Cheryl Chumley is a Washington Times online opinion editor. We have had her on the show before, folks. You know that if you've been listening. I love her commentary. It's been great talking to you, Cheryl. And we got to have you back on again, because this thing is just going to germinate and we're going to see it take off. We're going to see the socialist agenda take off more and more as time progresses. Folks, you got to understand that we have to have hope and we have to continue to fight. If you want your freedom, we got to get rid of this democracy garbage. We are a constitutional republic. And if you want to protect it, you have to stand up. You have to be counted. Cheryl Chumley, thank you so much for being on the show. God bless you for all the work you're doing, and good luck with the success of the book. You need to get out there and get it. It's on Amazon.com, folks. We're at the bottom of the hour break. We will be back. We're going to try to reach out to Donald Jeffries. He's one of your favorite folks out there. Talk about some of the new book, this Masking the Truth, he's got out now. And, you know, we want you to stay with the show, folks. It ends on a good note, always does. Stay with us.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue, formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here in the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. I get to see Don Jeffries in the flesh here. Good morning, Don.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us again. You know, always a good guest here on the show. We just had Cheryl Chumley on. She's got the new book out called Lockdown, and the book is The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. You have another book out now called Masking the Truth. You have a foreword by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's had her license suspended by authorities in Ohio, and she's now suing. We've been keeping tabs on all of this stuff, and, you know, I've tried to get Sherry on the show, but I guess she didn't like me. Anyway, but
she's very busy. She's hard to get on.
Yeah, I know. I know she is. The thing is that you've got this book, Masking the Truth, out now. We're going to continue with the conversation today, because this thing about lockdowns and all of the stuff with destruction of civil liberties, which is what she says is going to be an ongoing process. She said on a scale of 1 to 10, where 0 is freedom and 10 is total anarchy, authoritarianism, communism, we're at about an 8. And I'm like, I don't like that number. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but see, you, this book centers around how COVID-19 destroyed civil liberties and shut down the world. And I'm just kind of curious because of the fact that it is based in science. And now, you know, CDC, FDA, NIH, they've all got an egg on their face as a result of this. And people are trying to get their head around what is true and what's not. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is now coming out against his own party virtually, which is why they're not offering Secret Service protection, I believe.
Right.
And he's even saying, if I'm elected president, I'm going to go after these people. How does your book fit into all this equation?
Well, I hope it's very timely, and it is. I call it the most shadow banned book in the world. They're doing everything they can to suppress it. I can tell you some of the tricks they're doing with you wouldn't believe it. But
No, I want to hear it. I want to hear it because people need to be aware of the censorship because we've been telling them all morning.
I've had I don't know how many people told me that they reviewed the book on Amazon and it was never posted. Other people had their reviews taken down. Google Books, if you try to find it in a Google book search, it's there, but it'll tell you it's not. It'll tell you, they give you an error message if you search for it. And the libraries, really, this is my eighth book, Dave, and all of them have been controversial. I've never had a problem getting my books in hundreds of libraries all over the world. This one, there's a couple libraries I know that have done it, but they block it on WorldCat, which is a catalog. They don't show it there. They don't even show the copy in the Library of Congress. Stuff they've never done before. People have showed me because I have lots of people requesting, and I do urge everybody, please try to recommend it to your libraries because a couple of them have broke down, and they will. You can beat the algorithm, but they're getting things back saying we're not going to add this book, which libraries never do. They never respond, and they haven't happened to all my other books anyhow. So it's very, very strange. On Apple Books, you can find the e-version there if you want to pay $999. That's what it's listed for there. So those are the kind of games they're playing, and it's because my book is the only one that tells the entire story. It starts at point A. You know, I'm sure Cheryl's book is fine, and Naomi Wolf, my friends, you know, her book is fine. Alex Berenson, RFK's Jr.'s book on Fauci, Peter McCullough's book is all these books are fine, but mine is the only one that starts at the beginning. I question the virus itself. Nobody else does that. They accept that there's a virus, and then they do a fine job of analyzing the warp speed vaccine and the damage that's done, and certainly the shutdowns, the lockdowns, and all how nonsensical that was and how threatening it is to our liberties. But I look at, I talk about the empty hospitals. I talk about the dancing nurses who are back, by the way, dancing for climate change now. They're not dancing for 9/11 truth or free speech, shockingly enough. It's climate change.
Oh, my. You know, the phone lines are open, by the way, 844-769-2944. I know at least we have a lot of our listeners on this show, Don, that are, they love you and they want to call up and comment. And, you know, the phone lines are open. If during the course of the conversation, something trips your trigger and motivates you to pick up the phone, 844-769-2944. I always like asking about the backside of the equation, Don, because you started out with doing all the researching into the JFK assassination. Of course, now we have somebody on their deathbed that has come out with some stuff that I don't know if that makes any sense or not. But the thing is that you've delved into history with so many different perspectives that, you know, people just flat out can't ignore it. And our listeners love you. So, you know, we invite listeners to call during this segment if you have questions of Don. But I want to kind of go over this book, too, because, I mean, you talk about from point A to where we are now. Where does this start? And it's not just Wuhan in 2019. It goes deeper than that, doesn't it?
Yeah. And again, my favorite rebuttal to people who say, well, there was a virus. I say, OK, look. If there was a virus, why wasn't the southern border ever shut down? Politics didn't stop. And that's the first giveaway that this was an absurd, whatever you want to call it, not hoax necessarily, but PSYOP. I call it the greatest PSYOP in the history of the world. If this had been a dangerous pandemic, then our leaders would have, they would have been scared for themselves and their loved ones. And they would, even though they're irresponsible and they don't know how to do the right thing, they would have known, and the media, who are frightened of everything, they're obviously terrified of this, the fear porn's everywhere, but they weren't scared of having that southern border open. They weren't scared of having unfettered, unvaccinated, untested people flowing into the country nonstop. No one, not one person on the hysterical side said anything about, hey, this is dangerous. This is, instead, it, just like they didn't say anything about the Black BLM rallies and the George Floyd's funeral and all that. No, it's no problem. That doesn't de Blasio in New York actually exempted BLM rallies. He basically banned all rallies in the city except BLM rallies because they were special. Again, that's not science. That's politics. And so that's the dead giveaway. That's why I wish everybody that's talking about this analyze what we're talking about here. If there was any kind of a virus that was a threat to people, they wouldn't see that. Everything would be banned. You'd probably restrict, you know, international air travel at least. You would close the southern border. But that southern border, we know, hasn't been closed since, you know, since the 80s, since when it opened wide open, because they need that cheap labor and they need their want to change the literal complexion of America. And that's what they're doing. And so they can't, politics doesn't start. So if politics doesn't stop, and of course, not to mention all the people, all the elite, and I give many examples in the book that were caught without their masks over and over again, that were caught not social distancing, the nonsense. So if they believe the stuff, they would have been doing it. So that's why I kept trying to tell people, why are they don't believe it? Why are you believing it? And so that's why. And then not only to mention the fact that they're even now they're trying to build on the variants. I talk about COVID-19. It was called that because it's the 2019 version of the yearly coronavirus. Where's COVID-20? Where's COVID-21? Where's COVID-22? We should be seeing COVID-23 coming right now. Nobody talks about that. It's still COVID-19, and it never burned out. I mean, there's people like Andrew Kaufman. I don't know enough about it to say that. There's lots of people that don't even believe in the viral theory. But if you believe in that, if you believe in conventional science about viruses, then you can't be promulgating, as the media has been doing this summer, oh, there's a deadly new strain coming in the summer. These viruses were taught by science that they burn out in the heat. So COVID-19 should have burned out in the fall of 2020. It didn't. It just kept always coming back. It's a new variant. I mean, these so I guess the variants don't burn out in the heat. I mean, this is not science. This is absurdity. And you have to be brain dead to believe it. So I hope people read my book and realize this thing has been a farce from the beginning, from the fake photos coming out of Italy to the staged nonsense in China of people dropping dead and women going around spitting on doorknobs. And it's just crazy nonsense. And I have in the book that, you know, the Chinese media eventually admitted, yeah, we did include cases of pneumonia and the flu, which is what we said all the time is what it was. And Italy basically said, well, yeah, 99% of these people died of something else. That got lost in the shuffle. And then it comes to New York and you have, you know, the people like Jason Goodman and Citizen Richard that I had on my show, filmed all the empty hospitals, filmed the EMTs laughing and giggling when they asked them about COVID. Why would you do that? You imagine back in the Middle Ages, if you had gone and tried to ask people about the Black Death, and they'd been laughing and giggling, and that's what they were doing. They treated it as a joke. And then the dancing nurses. I worked in a hospital. I can tell you there's no hospital in the world. First of all, there's no place for that to happen. They don't have like an auditorium or whatever. There's and this was happening on the floors because you saw patients and stretchers in the background. How and of course it was choreographed. Under what circumstances did that happen? There's no, as bad as hospitals are, the medical, the people that run them are not going to allow that. It's at their very least a disturbance. And instead of questioning it, you had idiots on the Today Show or one of those stupid morning flush shows coming on and lauding them some type of heroes and praising them for their dance moves. I mean, that's all part of it. And that's why I don't ignore that. Most of the other people ignore that. I don't, because I think that's a part of it. And it's a very telling, and people need to understand that's what tells you this is a psyop. Southern border kept open, dancing nurses, all this nonsense.
So the thing is after that was a great, I love the fact that in your books, and this is the one thing about Don that you all know, because if you read him, and a lot of you are very well read, you know that he challenges the narrative. Big time challenges the narrative. You got to understand that he probably challenges narratives. I mean, you start out with JFK and the assassination fascination, and everybody else has tried to come up with the grassy knoll and the lone gunman and all the other stuff that, and Harvey Oswald acted alone and the Warren Commission. I mean, all this garbage. You've sifted through it, and you basically challenge the narratives. That's what you do in all your books, which I appreciate it. But there's one thing when I was skimming through the book, because I got an advanced copy and I'm looking at it, folks, you really need to go get this book. The Great Lockdown of Trump, Operation Warp Speed, Trump, I looked at him when I looked at him in the first, I said, look, the guy knows how to play the bankruptcy system. Obviously, he's a businessman. He's a real estate tycoon. He knows what's going on there. But I said the reason that America liked him so much was because he was not a politician. He was a businessman, and they wanted somebody with some business sense to run the country. And it looked like he was doing a good job up until the point they manipulated him. And that's what America was led to believe at some point in time. At least some of us thought that. What's your position? I mean, this chapter two about the great lockdown and warp speed. How you challenge that narrative with Trump? How did he fit into this equation as a pawn, as a player? Yeah. I mean, how do you see it?
Well, I give all the examples in there, and I show over and over again how Trump said one thing and then recapitulated or backtracked or did the. I mean, Trump is the one who set the lockdown in motion. He kept saying, "Why are we locked down?" as if he hadn't done it. He's the one that gave all the money to the states, including many Republican governors who were just as happy to take it as the Democratic governors were. So this was a bipartisan effort. It wasn't until fairly late in the game that some Republicans began questioning it. But they were right on board. I give their quotes in the beginning. So there's nobody to question this. And Trump is most notably of all continues to claim credit for the warp speed vaccine. And even in the face of when he was interviewed by Candace Owens, it was painful to watch because she's just a typical naive conservative. And she's saying, what do you think about all the vaccine deaths? And she must not know his position on it. He just, we saved millions of lives and all this. He has to know 99% of his supporters know that's ridiculous. So I call Trump Trumpenstein. I talk about that all over and over. People can read all my stuff on it. I think he's an actor. It's possible that he just has this, low IQ and just he is what he is, the most egotistical person you've seen. I prefer to think that's an act. I don't know, but I'm writing more about him for a book down the road that's going to analyze everything in it. But it's astonishing because he has said some really great things, some revolutionary things. But the problem is he typically does nothing or does the opposite. And that was the way it was. He'd get into arguments with Fauci, but he wouldn't fire him. He'd end up supporting him. And so the whole story is in the book. Trump was definitely a part of this. And Trump, as a businessman, you mentioned that. One other notable feature about this is that if the business world, where was the Chamber of Commerce? Where were the businesses when they did this unconstitutional lockdown? There was not one corporation anywhere that protested it. Only the small businesses, a handful of courageous people like the Shelley Luther in Dallas, the hair salon, and the gym owner in New Jersey. And again, what happened when they did that? The other small business owners didn't gather in support of them. They let them out as sacrificial lambs to be so that, Shelley Luther could get lectured by some idiot judge. That lectured her, and I have the quotes from him. You don't want to get in front of that judge because he obviously has no concept of the law. But that's if capitalism had worked the way it was supposed to, they should. I mean, the NCAA, the NFL, the NBA, Major League, they lost billions on this. So that's why I'm sure they got payoffs under the table. They had to have, because for them not to protest this nonsense. I mean, they their business, Hollywood, was destroyed. It's Hollywood's never going to come back. Maybe that's a good thing, but it was, considering the product. But there were no protests. Where were these businesses that supposedly care about profits and nothing else? How could they not? Where are the conservative businessmen?
The liquor stores seem to stay open. Well,
That's right.
I'm like, if people were coming out of the grocery stores, but only go if you have the absolute need to go with cartloads of toilet paper. I mean, how many times do you have to wipe your butt? I mean, this is where the stupidity should have surfaced and people should have said, wait a minute, what am I doing wiping my groceries off going into the house? I mean, the first day that happened with me, I go, no, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. The narrative is not right. And people start putting on the critical thinking caps. You did this way ahead of the game. It's obvious. But, the real exercise in power, it appears from one of the writings in your book, is talking about if you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. Right. And you quoted George Orwell. Sure. And I'm looking at this idea of authoritarianism on steroids, which is, I look at that title alone, and that's scary enough to think about. You've got people out there that are saying, no, we're going to have total anarchy, before we have total authoritarianism, because the powers that be have to come in and stop the anarchy from happening, because that would be the eventual concept of what Cheryl Chumley and I were talking about in our last segment, about the idea of the have-nots coming after the haves, and we have a civil war. Because a lot of people are going to ignore this lockdown, especially the 10 million illegal immigrants, one of whom just murdered a Houston man, bludgeoned him in his own backyard. So they're coming for us. They're coming to our door because they don't have it. Patrice, in Ohio, you're on the phone with Don Jeffries. Go ahead.
Well, one thing that my takeaway was from this whole lockdown thing, and I absolutely agree, because I was going to call in and said, obviously somebody got paid under the table or threatened or whatever to not do this. During that time, only the most sophisticated people that I hung around with bought into the lie the biggest. My attorneys and physicians and my attorneys' wives who are physicians and people in the government, local, they all bought into it, like hook, line, and sinker. And they kind of liked the lockdown because they were working, you know, like 80-hour days, and this was kind of nice.
Well, I don't know.
They didn't have to go into the office, and they got to work from the house.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to deal with downtown traffic, and they didn't have surgeries weren't scheduled, blah, 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 blah.
Well, yeah, but Patrice, here's the thing. They that was all by design, I think. Don's got probably a take on that, but if it was done by design, it was to isolate. They had to isolate us. That's part of this thing. Don, what do you think?
Yeah, it's true. And you know, they didn't have to push too hard, because I've written a lot about the American family dysfunction. It's everywhere. I mean, I've met very few people in recent years who, when you get to know them a little bit and you realize, wow, there's at least like one sibling that's ostracized or ostracized from their parents, their children, whatever. It's the families are so dysfunctional to begin with. So I think a lot of people looked with relief. Well, now I don't want to go see grandma in the nursing home anyhow. Now I have an excuse not to. I can't. I'd like to come, but I can't. I think a lot of people like that. And you know, like not seeing their relatives because there is dysfunction there. So I don't think they had to push too hard to do that. And of course, you had, you know, that was one of the great tragedies, all the old people that died unvisited. But, you know, the tragedy was there before, because there are lots and lots of old people in these homes that don't get visits at all anyhow. And it just kind of made it official. So it's, you know, I hope you're right that there will be more pushback. And I think there will this time if they try it again. But I still think, especially if Trump gets involved, that's why I call it Trumpet side. If he's already kind of come out of it, we can't let this happen, like he's on our side really this time. So if he does that, unfortunately, you're going to have a lot of people that might otherwise not want to do it again to automatically say, give me another jab. You know, because if Trump, because they hate him so much, if he becomes involved, that's why they hate us so much, because they associate us with Trump, and that's Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. So that's what worries me. If Trump becomes too vocal about it and criticizing it, it's going to stop a lot of people on the left that realize, at least to some degree, how stupid it was, or that they don't need to go through it again or whatever. So I don't have a lot of confidence in Americans at this point. I know from the last time it was very disillusioning to walk around and see. I knew we were outnumbered. I did not know we were outnumbered to the degree that we were, you know, to watch the people in the cars driving by themselves with masks on. I still see that stuff.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your call, Patrice. You and another caller hitting the nail on the head here, Don. The situation as far as what is really going on right now, and you were talking about the 9/11. I mean, we've had Richard Gage on the show recently talking about the updates. And I mean, it's interesting how this whole thing is playing out and how everything, I mean, it looks like they're trying to divide and conquer, but you have so many, you know, the polls, of course, that's another media slant. It's another PSYOP. They're saying that, you know, half of the independents and Democrats are now saying, we don't like what Biden's doing. He's wrecking everything. We got the World Health Organization, people marching in the streets in New York. They want $100 billion for climate change that really doesn't exist. what's going on? And where's all this headed?
You know, if I could make predictions, obviously I would be a lot richer. But, you know, I can't. I mean, I you know, because we can't first of all, these people that run us are, excuse me, they're psychopaths. And I think they're motivated by Satan. A lot of them, anyhow. I think this is very real ultimate darkness there. So to be able to understand what their motive is, because on the surface, I don't know why they keep doing these things. They have ultimate power. They've proven that the majority of the people will follow their orders no matter what they say, no matter how stupid they are, how contradictory they are, how much it hurts their own lives. They don't care. They have to obey authority. So they already have like a couple toes on the face, you know, stomping on it. So but I, you know, Huey Long, who's my hero, he said one thing a long time when he was talking about, you know, the wealth and how it's not distributed. He said, you know, it's not enough for the people to have it all. They have to know that you don't have it. And I think there's something like that in their minds that they really get off on watching people suffer. They get off on people. I'm sure they laugh at how stupid we are, that we obey this kind of nonsense, and they probably get a big kick out of it. But the ultimate goal, I don't know. I mean, people have been talking about world government since I almost first started down this road a long time ago. We don't see an official world government yet, but for all intents and purposes, you know, it works like that, because we don't have borders, our southern borders open. So that's one of the main definitions of a sovereign nation. You don't have a sovereign nation if you don't have borders, and we don't. We're involved in so many globalist organizations. Yeah, they're pushing constantly to be more involved and make it more official. So maybe they will do that. I don't know, but I think there'll be a little pushback if that happens. I just think they enjoy.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope
they
so.
Do. Yeah. Well, Don Jeffries, we're out of time for today, but we really appreciate you. The book again, Masking the Truth. Go get it, and please don't pay $899 for the book, whatever
no.
you do. Yeah, Don, thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate you. God bless you for the work you're doing. Challenging thank the narrative, that's what it's all about. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you got a lot of critical thinking done today on the show. We'll be back tomorrow with more good stuff. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Got to stand up.
Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. 800-387-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.